Of the Heidelberg Catechism found on page 24 of the back of the Psalter. Before I read that, I'll read the 10th commandment found in Deuteronomy 5, verse 21. We're, I think, more familiar with Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt not covet. And that word is used in Deuteronomy 5, verse 21. But notice, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. And so question 113 asks, what doth the 10th commandment require of us? That even the smallest inclination or thought contrary to any of God's commandments never rise in our hearts, but that at all times we hate all sin with our whole heart and delight in all righteousness. But can those who are converted to God perfectly keep these commandments? No. But even the holiest of men while in this life have only a small beginning of this obedience. Yet so, that with a sincere resolution they begin to live not only according to some, but all the commandments of God. Why will God then have the 10 commandments so strictly preached, since no man in this life can keep them? First, that all our lifetime we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature, and thus become the more earnest in seeking the remission of sin, and righteousness in Christ. Likewise, that we constantly endeavor and pray to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we may become more and more conformable to the image of God till we arrive at the perfection proposed to us in life to come. Now we turn to 1 Kings chapter 21. We will be examining this history this morning, in connection with the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. 1 Kings chapter 21. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise, and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him, to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones, that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed, and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said unto Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. For the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger, and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, The dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dogs shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all things as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he hath humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. Thus far we read the word of God. May God bless the reading of his word. Do not have any desires, any wants. Do not hunger or thirst for anything. That is not the word of God in the 10th commandment. I think it's clear from the Psalter numbers that we sang that we do have godly wants, godly desires. That we have desires is due to the work of the Lord. The Lord Himself has made us creatures who have desires. Every day, we make choices. We make decisions. And if someone asks you, why did you make that decision? Your answer will probably be something like this. I chose what I want. I made this decision because this is rooted in my desire. I have desires that drive my decisions. Every day, God has made you to be a living, active creature, a human being who does things. And if someone asks you, why did you do this? And why didn't you do that? Again, you're going to point to your inward desire and say, my actions are driven by the things that I want, that I set my mind, my heart upon. I have desires. Nothing wrong with that at all. The 10th commandment does not say, thou shalt not have any desires or wants at all. The 10th commandment says, thou shalt not covet. That is, your desires must not be ruled by sin. And there is the problem with regard to the fallen human race. Men and women and young people and children have fallen under the slavery of sin. So that the desires of the heart and mind have been corrupted. They're not pure, they are polluted. And if the chief desire that man ought to have is God, and it is, then right here is where you see the chief sin of the heart in fallen human beings. In the heart, sinful human beings say, I don't want God. I don't love Him. I don't want to seek His glory. I don't want to love Him by keeping His commandments. I don't want to submit to God in any way. And it's that desire not to have God or to please God that leads to every sinful desire of human beings. Not wanting God, man turns against God. Not wanting to submit to His will, man says, I won't follow the will of God. I'm going to follow my own will. I'm not going to keep the commandments of God. I'm going to break the commandments of God. And instead of seeing God as the one who sits on the throne and who needs to be pleased, I will be as God. And I will please me. And even as the redeemed people of God, the Heidelberg Catechism made plain this morning, didn't it? We still struggle with many, many sinful, ungodly desires. The law of God says, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not have any ungodly desires. And I say with you this morning, beloved, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. And I need the 10th commandment to be brought home to me again. To show me not only my outward sins, but my heart sin. To show me my need for my Savior Jesus Christ to do a deep inward work to deliver me from the power of sin. That I may seek today and this week to be renewed in my desires. Putting away sinful lusts and wanting God in everything that I choose to do in my life as a Christian. So let's listen to the 10th commandment and hear this morning God's word about covetousness. First of all, let's hear the word of God about Ahab's sinful desires, and then about Jezebel's sinful desires, and then Naboth's righteous or godly desires here in 1 Kings chapter 21. Now, Ahab and Jezebel are united, and we must in this sermon see how they really go together. And yet, we profit from examining them individually so that we can see the various ways that the sin of covetousness can manifest itself in the life of sinful people. And Ahab is characterized here as a man who simply doesn't think about God. He's not spiritual. That's his sin. All of our desires must be for God, and every desire must flow out of our desire for God, and that's Ahab's fundamental failure. As God looks into his heart, he sees that he's not in Ahab's thoughts. There's no thought about God at all. He's an unspiritual man. We could say that Romans 14 verse 23 applies to Ahab. Whatever is not of faith is sin. So that there's no faith, there's no devotion to God in anything that Ahab desires. He's a purely earthly, me-centered man. So all of his desires are self-centered and sinful. But if we look closely at Ahab's behaviors and his desires here in the text, this will help us to examine our own hearts and behaviors. And I'll say it right now, we would like to say that there's one king, especially in all of Israel, that we are not like. We are not Ahab's. But it would be better for us this morning, beloved, to confess that we often are like Ahab. And therefore, we do need the grace and the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ahab had a desire for his neighbor Naboth's vineyard. Now, every desire of Ahab is polluted. We believe that's what the Word of God teaches about this unbelieving man. He doesn't have any godly desires. All of his desires are ungodly. Yet, we can say this here about Naboth, that Ahab looking at Naboth's vineyard and saying, I like that vineyard. And it's right next to my estate where I have my palace and my other gardens and vineyards. And you know, it would be nice if I could add that to my estate. There's nothing necessarily sinful about that kind of thought and desire, to have that vineyard be part of my estate. But what Ahab should have said is this: I would like to have that vineyard be part of my estate, if it's possible. That is, if the Lord gives me a lawful way or avenue for adding that vineyard to my estate. In other words, Ahab should have said, I can look upon my neighbor's vineyard, but I need to submit any desire that I have to the will of God. And I also need to do this. Don't forget this, beloved. Whenever I'm looking at my desire, and my desire has to do with my neighbor, I must say, in this desire, I need to seek my neighbor's good and love my neighbor as myself. And so, there's nothing wrong this morning for you to see things even that your neighbor has, his land, his home, whatever possessions he may have, and say, I can see where that would be a good possession to have. I might even offer to buy that from my neighbor and seek to obtain that lawfully. And if the Lord wills that I could have this, I may have it. And so you and I may recognize value. We may even see something that the neighbor has as good and say, there's a way that I might like to have that, submitting to the Lord's will and loving the neighbor. But this is what is wrong with Ahab. He does not submit his desire to the will of God, and he does not love his neighbor, Ahab, or Naboth. Try not to do that again. Ahab does not submit his desire to the will of God and does not love his neighbor, Naboth, at all. And let me say, first of all, that Ahab's problem was not that he wanted something he could not afford. That is sometimes where we fall into ungodly desire, isn't it? I want something. And one of the ways that the Lord tells me that I can't have it is that I don't have the money to pay for it. I don't have the means to obtain this for myself. And then what? Quickly say, I'm content. I submit to the will of God that I may not have this? Or is that where discontentment and bitterness comes in and jealousy and envy? I'm not happy that the Lord hasn't given me this. That's what covetousness is when the Lord says, I don't give you the means to obtain this. Now, Ahab didn't face that. He had another vineyard that he could trade, a better vineyard. Here, Naboth, is your vineyard, and the grapes here are okay, and the wine that you produce is all right. But here is a vineyard in the valley where the finest grapes are found and where the finest wine is made from. This will make you more wealthy, Naboth. I have the means to swap vineyards with you. Or if that doesn't please you, you want market value in money and gold for your vineyard, Naboth? I'll even go above market value and give you more than you need. More than what it's worth. Ahab could afford that vineyard, and yet God did not want him to have that vineyard. There's two ways that that should have been clear to Ahab, and he should have been content with that as the will of God. First of all, it's obvious that the neighbor, Naboth, owns this property and doesn't want to sell it. Now, Jezebel later on is going to say to Ahab, you're king. And that's true. And in all of the countries around Israel, that maybe would have made a difference even legally. I'm king. You're a subject. You have this land. I want this land. This land is now going to be mine because I have that right as king. But there's a problem with that in the land of Israel, and that is that God is the king of Israel, and God had commands for the kings of Israel, laws for the way that they could rule, and God said to the kings of Israel in Deuteronomy, you shall not multiply vineyards and lands to yourself and take possession of the property of the people of Israel. So Naboth had the right to own that vineyard and say no to Ahab. And then Ahab should have said, in love for God and in love for my neighbor, this is not my vineyard. It's his. He may have it. I may not. I need to be content. But verse 4 tells us it's not what Ahab did. He came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. That was covetousness that would not submit to the will of God or love the neighbor as himself. Secondly, Ahab should have known that it was not God's will to give him Naboth's vineyard based on what Naboth says to him in verse 3 about that vineyard. The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Here, Naboth shows, and we're going to go into this later on, he has a spiritual point of view, the perspective of faith. He's looking at that vineyard not as just a piece of ground, but he's looking at that as his spiritual inheritance, his portion in the Lord. And so what he is showing to Ahab is something that Ahab should have known before he heard the testimony of Naboth. And that is, even in desiring to have that vineyard, at some point Ahab should have said to himself, no, that's something that's off limits. What I mean by that is this. There are things that you and I can say I would desire to have that, be legitimate to have that if the Lord would give it to me. And then there are other things that you and I have to say, the Lord has made it clear, that's off limits. I may not have that. I may not desire to have that. What's an example of that? Well, Ahab is an example of this. He may desire to have a wife. There's nothing wrong with that. But the desire to have an ungodly wife, a Baal-worshipping wife, that was off limits. Already then, earlier in his life, when Ahab said, I desire to marry this beautiful woman who has a great physical appearance, this very probably exciting woman, this woman who always has good ideas, she's never at a loss for what to do. She gets things done. I want to marry this woman, even though she's an ungodly woman. Ahab was showing that he was a man who was not going to desire only the things that the Lord says, these are the things you may desire. He desired things forbidden. And that's really what you have here in this vineyard. You and I do not have to think that way when we look at our neighbor's house or our neighbor's property. That's his and the Lord forbids him to sell that and forbids me to take it. But that's how Ahab should have looked at Naboth's vineyard. That belongs to Naboth and his family, and it was given to him by the Lord, and I may not have it. And now Naboth reminds him of that. And now as a neighbor in Israel, that is a fellow church member, as even more as the king of Israel, Ahab's attitude should be, I love God, I love my neighbor, and I'm going to encourage Naboth, and not only Naboth, but every man in the nation of Israel, hang on to your inheritance from the Lord. But Ahab showed himself to be a man who didn't think about God. He only thought about earthly things, and you can see that here, can't you? He's not encouraging his fellow Israelite in love to hang on to his spiritual inheritance, but he says, give that up. For what? For a better vineyard. For gold or silver, for earthly things. He's a man who in his covetous desires has set his heart on the things of the world, and now he is tempting very powerfully his fellow Israelite to do the same thing. Your place in the church, your inheritance where you have the truth, the Word of God, where you have the knowledge of salvation and the preaching of salvation through the gospel, your hope of heaven, give it all up for earthly riches. That's the covetous heart of Ahab. And so you have a man who's not driven to please God. He does not submit himself to God. He's not spiritual. He does not think of God or his neighbor. He has set his heart on the things of the world. And if he cannot have what he wants, he becomes discontent, bitter, angry, envious. That's Ahab. That's me. That's you, by nature. Now, what about Jezebel? When you look at her desires, the first thing that's obvious from the text is that she wants Ahab to have Naboth's vineyard. Verse 7, "Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." Now, let me say right at the beginning here of considering Jezebel, I do believe there's a bit of a difference between her and Ahab. Neither one has faith. Neither one of them has a desire to serve God. But whereas Ahab, you could look at him and say, there's just an unspiritual man. He just doesn't think about God. I think Jezebel is a determined enemy of God. She thinks about God and wants to disobey Him and attack His people, His church, and His word and will. She is the one who has a carnal mind at enmity with God. Now, Ahab has that too. But there is, it seems, that difference between Ahab and Jezebel. He's simply an unspiritual man who doesn't think about God. She is a woman driven in her love for Baal and idolatry to hate God and oppose His people. So why does she want Ahab to have Naboth's vineyard? Well, one reason seems to be, verse 7, when she asks him, "Dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel?" is that Jezebel believes that might makes right. Ahab, you're the king, and I am the queen. And this is the way it is in all of the other nations of the world, and this is the way it should be in Israel too. You want that vineyard, you get that vineyard. There's no regard for God and His will for Israel at all. Perhaps another reason that Jezebel wants Ahab to have this vineyard is because in her hatred for God, and this has been revealed already up to this time in the life of Ahab and Jezebel, she is opposed to the prophets of God. She has put them to death. And she is opposed to all worship of God. And here in the land of Israel, you remember during this time, through Jezebel, Ahab had convinced all of the people of Israel to bow the knee to Baal, except for 7,000 men. And it's thought, and I believe this is an accurate thought of many commentators, Naboth is one of those men of God who has not bowed the knee to Baal. Now think of how maddening that must be for wicked Queen Jezebel. Of all of the people in all of Israel who haven't bowed the knee to Baal, it's this man who's living right next to me and my husband as we live in the palace. Our next door neighbor is here as a testimony of a man who is rejecting Baal, rejecting the ungodly lifestyle that we're living in, a man who is holding fast to Jehovah as the true God of Israel. She now has a desire to get rid of this righteous man of God. There's one more thing about the sinfulness of Jezebel that I'm going to say in a moment, and I will remember this. I have it written down. But go back to what I said in the beginning when you ask yourself, what is it that Jezebel wants? And it's clear, she does not want God or His commandments. In this, you can see her determined anti-God stance that maybe is a little bit different from Ahab. Ahab, not receiving a positive answer for Naboth, being refused to have his vineyard, seems willing just to pout about it and let it go. Ahab, not in a godly way, but in some ways seems somewhat restrained in his lust for the vineyard of Naboth. Jezebel has no restraint. God says in His law, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You must speak the truth in love about your neighbor. That doesn't restrain Jezebel at all. She concocts a lie. A very hypocritical lie, probably even a transparent lie. She has great boldness as this woman who has been living a life of blasphemy against God, putting God's prophets to death, making God's faithful prophet Elijah run for his life. This woman who hires 450 Baal prophets to serve her and her husband in the capital city of Israel in Samaria, she has the gall to say, let's accuse Naboth of blasphemy against God and his king. Does she care about the welfare of her neighbor? God in His Word says, Jezebel, you must love your neighbor's property. She concocts a careful and cunning plan to take, to steal her neighbor's property. And then finally, God says, love your neighbor's life. And here's where you see the evil lust of her heart against God. I desire, she plans it and executes it, to take my neighbor's life, and she commits murder. Now in this connection, in connection with Jezebel, we must see that the passage throws guilt on the noblemen, men of Israel, living in the city of Samaria. Men who are told by Jezebel to be part of this plot, to lie, to steal, to murder. And are they going to say, no, we desire God. We love Him. We desire to serve Him. We're going to choose obedience to His commandments. We will not commit these sins. No. They choose pleasing the queen. They choose having, no doubt, a more peaceful, more prosperous earthly life. And they go along with this wicked, lustful plan of Jezebel. And then there are the men called the sons of Belial. Some think that that means that they are sons of literally the devil. Evil men. You know, there's a proverb that says, when the heart of the king is righteous and good, then the righteous will prosper in the city. But when the heart of the king is evil, then the righteous are persecuted and the wicked flourish in the city. And that's what we see in the reign of King Ahab, devoted to worshiping Baal, devoted to rejecting God and His word through his prophet Elijah. A man like Naboth, one of 7,000 men who is remaining faithful to God, is charged with being evil and cut out of the land. And then men who are literally sons of the devil, men who have sold themselves, that means to sin, men who probably the best way to describe them is this. They don't need money to do evil. They don't need any kind of profit or gain. You ask these kinds of men, why do you do the horribly wicked things you do? You blaspheme God. You lie against His people. You steal. You murder. You do terribly wicked things. And the answer is, because we love to do wicked things. That's it. And that, I think, does describe Jezebel. She loves living in the palace. She loves being powerful and rich. But I think in the end, she was the kind of woman who took pleasure in simply doing evil against God and His people. What are we going to say about this with Ahab? Was his wife worse than him? God's judgment indicates that God holds Ahab to be just as guilty as Jezebel. Verse 25, you already have the judgment before that spoken by God through Elijah that Ahab's going to be, his blood's going to be licked by the dogs. But verse 25, but there was none like unto Ahab which did sell himself to wickedness in the sight of the Lord whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. Now, to be blunt, the point here then is not to say there's a difference between them. Ahab was sinful, but Jezebel was worse. The point is this. Ahab walking in sin and not putting that sin away became complicit and guilty of the further sin of his wife Jezebel. And yes, part of the point here is that a young Christian man or a young man in Israel in the church must be careful many years before this in the wife that he chooses. Ahab put himself in this circumstance where he would be influenced by a wicked woman, not helped by a godly woman. Ahab, when he was laying there on his bed and he wouldn't eat and he turned his face to the wall, he needed a strong, godly wife to say to him, Ahab, this is the will of God. Naboth is a righteous man. You should accept this as the will of God, that that's his vineyard and that's his portion in the inheritance of the Lord. Ahab, be content. Look at the ivory palace and the many vineyards and the gold and the silver God has given you. But instead, Ahab, having chosen to marry this Baal-worshipping wicked woman, is in a position where he has sin in his heart. And his wife doesn't help him deal with that sin, but she leads him further into sin. And he becomes guilty of the lie, the theft, and the murder of Naboth with his wife. And the important thing to take away from that in this Word of God is this. Beware the sin in your heart. Beware the evil desires that reside within. And don't say to yourself this morning or ever, well, I haven't acted on this evil. I haven't done anything evil. So this evil brewing in my heart isn't that bad. The warning of the Word of God this morning is, if you don't put that covetousness, that evil desire out of your heart, this is the nature of that sinful desire. It's going to wait for the means, the opportunity, the encouragement of the world or of some evil person to boil over and to actually commit the sinful deed that lies rooted in the desires of the heart. God says in the 10th commandment, put away all evil desires When that desire arises in your heart, confess it. Ask the Lord for forgiveness and ask Him to drive it out of your heart and to fill your heart with righteous, godly desires. Naboth is a man filled with love for God, a love for God that is shown in his desire to submit to the will of God, to obey God's commandments. When Ahab comes to him with this sinful proposal to exchange his vineyard for money or for a better vineyard, he says, "The Lord forbid it me first of all." The Lord forbid it me. That's not only Naboth saying, "The Lord forbid me to do this. I may not do this. I may not sell the inheritance of my fathers." It's his prayer. Striking. Naboth is recognizing in himself sinfulness, desires that are sinful, desires that may be tempted to say, "Here's the king, and there's a threat here, perhaps, that if I don't give him this vineyard, that I could die." Or a sinful desire within his heart that says, "Here's the king, and he's got money. And if I give up this vineyard, I could become rich." And Naboth doesn't want to give in to those temptations. So he says, "Lord, take that sinfulness out of my heart. Prevent me from falling into this temptation and cause me to hang on to my father's inheritance. I want to keep it. And I want the Lord to give me the strength to hold on to my inheritance." And so first, Naboth says, "Lord, forbid it." Secondly, he does call this vineyard the inheritance of my fathers, meaning he is looking by faith. And he's saying, "This land represents my portion in the land of God, in the family of God, in His covenant, in His kingdom. This is my portion ultimately in Jesus Christ. Because this land is not mine by any human right, but this land is mine because of salvation from God through the Messiah." By clinging to that land, Naboth was clinging to the hope of Christ. He was clinging to the hope of the forgiveness of sins. He was clinging to the hope of heaven, the promised eternal land of God. And he was saying, "I don't desire earthly riches. I desire my God and my salvation." So he loved the Lord more than money. He loved the Lord more than his own life. He loved the Lord more than the pleasure of the king, than the good opinion of the majority of the people around him. The Lord gave him strength to hold on to that inheritance. Yes, we know that Jezebel's plan, from an earthly point of view, was successful. Naboth's life was taken. His vineyard was taken and inhabited by Ahab. But Naboth did not lose his inheritance, for the Lord, upon whom he set his heart and said, "This is my desire." The Lord is the inheritance of Naboth. He has a place in heaven that he will never lose through Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. Beloved, may God encourage you this morning by saying, even though by nature we are Ahabs and Jezebels, through the grace of God, we are Naboths. We do have the ability to overcome our impure, polluted lusts and desires. we do have the ability to say, in everything, I'm going to want the Lord. And in every desire that I have, I'm going to make sure that it is in harmony with my desire to love and to serve the Lord. I do have the ability, when I remember the Lord, to say no to any ungodly desire or lust. I do have the ability, by the grace of God, to put away discontentment when it arises. To put away envy, bitterness, and instead of hating the neighbor, to say, I desire his good, her good, because I love him or her for God's sake. Lord, forbid it that we should let go of him. Amen. Father in heaven, bless thy word to our hearts, that we may put away sin that lies deep within, and desire thee, and in desiring thee, desire the good of thy church and all thy people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.